Isaiah 61 through 6. Rise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried to their nurse in their nurse's arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephrah, and those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Happy New Year! Hey, I've been waiting to say that. Notice I haven't said it until now, but it is good to be here. It is good to be celebrating the second Sunday in January. We have experienced, thank you very much. I see two gentlemen there. Happy New Year in memory that we have children's church right now. So all of our elementary age kids, go on back. Mr. Stephen and Mr. Chris are back there, and they are going to have a good time. So, yeah. Thank you guys very much, and thank you for jumping up when I didn't quite see you. So, this has been a week, hasn't it? Yeah. Some of you have made resolutions. How are those going? Some of you haven't. Some of you might think, and I'm wise not to do that. But you've done a lot of things this week. Students started going back to school, and we started having people even coming back to work after winter break, and you know, life just seemed to kind of begin again after the Christmas and the New Year holiday. And we're getting back into life with all these things going on in our world, right? Football players hit hard enough to have a heart attack, right? And boy, woo! That interesting gauntlet that was the Speaker of the House vote, yes. It's a historic week in that regard, but I thank God that we have a Speaker of the House now. All these things. And it just begs the question, how are you now, church? I see that you're strangely quiet. That's all right. I know that some of you are feeling mighty fine right now. But you know, if you're not, if you've come into this place today or are worshiping with us online and, I don't know, you're feeling a little down, well, then know that you're not alone. I had a colleague who posted on Facebook very timely this week considering what I'm going to be talking about today. And I just want to share a few of the comments that he made on Facebook. It goes something like this. I am checked out. You know? Disconnected. Unmotivated. I mean, I can rise up and respond to something that happens and do what I have to do. But I am scrolling through reels for 2 hours, checked out right now. This winter has been weird. Like not winter at all and then aggressively winter, but without snow to play in. This is no pity party. I'm just sharing because someone else is feeling it too. You aren't alone. Just blah. Probably S-A-D. Oh, he's called it out. SAD is a real psychological medical issue. From the Mayo Clinic, we learned that SAD stands for seasonal affective disorder. It happens when people are experiencing lack of sunlight, So as you can guess, it begins when the nights grow longer and the days grow shorter. It begins in the autumn and really kicks up in the wintertime. And then when we get into spring and summer, it seems to go away. But it's hard to deal with this SAD, this seasonal affective disorder, while it's here. Now, here's some good news. There is treatment for that particular affliction. You can take medication, you can have psychotherapy, and then you can have something called phototherapy, which is light therapy, which basically gets more light into your system, right? So I think that's great that there is treatment for that SAD. But we're not going to be talking about that SAD, that SAD, during this series that we have for the next couple of months. We're going to be talking about another more emotional, spiritual condition, affliction, called spiritual affective disorder. And that may happen when we're suffering from seasonal affective disorder, but spiritual affective disorder can happen anytime. And I think that each of us have suffered from spiritual affective disorder from time to time. Stop me if this doesn't sound like something that's happened to you. All your routines, the pace of your life, all the uncertainty that you have to face, all the stress that's on your life has caused you to feel a lot of anxiety, has caused you to feel depression. Does that sound about right? And what can happen for those of us that follow Jesus is that it sort of takes us away from God just a little bit. We stop doing the things that we would do that would bring us closer to God because we can't experience God anymore because we got life going on and we don't know what to do. You could say that we are blocked from God's light because we are suffering from SAD, spiritual affective disorder. Hear the good news. Today and for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about ways with God's help that we can counter our SAD that we are afflicted with by certain spiritual practices. And I think you're going to be surprised by how simple those spiritual practices are because we've actually had a giant clue as to what our first spiritual practice is going to be. And that comes from the first line of Isaiah, "Arise, for your light has come. Arise, shine, for your light has come." So, we're going to talk a little bit about that scripture from Isaiah, but you know what's really important is to talk about the people that Isaiah first spoke those words to, because they were suffering from giant SAD. It was spiritual affective disorder as well, but they had good reason to. You see, the people that Isaiah spoke those words in Isaiah 60, well, those were the people of Judah. How many people have heard of the kingdom of Judah from the Bible? Okay, just a little homework if you haven't. You can read those history books, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Skip the other stuff, although the other stuff is good, but you can read those books and you can learn a little bit about those people of Judah. And those people of Judah were once a mighty kingdom, but they were squashed by the current world empire, the Babylonian Empire. And those squashed people, when I say squashed, they were squashed in spirit because Babylon's policy of empire was to take people from their homelands, where they grew up, from their homelands, where they found their identity, where they found family. They took all the best and the brightest from their homeland and they dispersed them out amongst the empire in a process known as assimilation. You see, their process of empire was to take a people with a strong identity and make them no people, except subjects of the empire. And so their process was to turn everybody into Babylonians. As you can tell, when you have a people that have a fierce and strong identity like the people of Judah did, what's going to be your natural reaction to that kind of process? You're going to start to feel anxious. Actually, you're going to live in anxiety each and every day. You're going to be depressed each and every day. Every day that you get up out of your cot or off of the floor, you're going to find it difficult because you're going to remember, I am not in where God wants me to be. I am nowhere. I am surrounded by strangers. They were very susceptible to SAD because in that state they began to doubt God and to doubt God's goodness and God's light. I invite you right now to put yourself in their sandals for a second. How would you feel if that happened to you? Not many of us know that kind of an exile, although I have friends from other countries that have faced that. A good friend from Rwanda who fled genocide years ago. But still, even though they recognize the blessings of living in the United States, there's also a sense that they are not in the place where they've been. Can you get a sense of what that might be? Can you use your imaginations to see how discombobulated, how disorienting, how much in disarray your life can be? I'm thinking you can. And you know why? Because in a sense, each of us finds ourselves in our own exile. Sometimes we place ourselves in exile. Sometimes the actions of others place us in exile. The way that we're treated at work, the way that we are living our lives, the way that we are surrounded by illness and sin and all those different things that weigh us down and they cause us to suffer depression and anxiety as well each and every day. And we want to connect with God, but we find that we can't because we are suffering from spiritual affective disorder. So what can we do? Well, I want to invite you to consider something very simple that you already do every day. You've been doing it all your life. And that's simply, I want to make sure I get all the words right. That is simply to arise and shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Yes, your first spiritual discipline is to get out of bed. What? Really? You don't think that's a spiritual discipline? Well, let me tell you something. It most definitely can be. The associate minister of spiritual formation at First UMC in Dallas, who was actually a Catholic priest once upon a time, studied under Richard Rohr. This is the Reverend Joseph Stable, shares this about a spiritual practice. A spiritual practice is any act habitually entered into with your whole heart and awakens, deepens, and sustains you within a contemplative experience of inherent holiness of the present moment. That sounds kind of fancy, I know. But do you get the gist of it? Anything that causes you, that awakens, deepens, and sustains you, and brings you into a conscious and an intentional way of holiness can be a spiritual practice. So yes, arising and getting out of bed each day can be a holy thing. It can awaken and deepen and sustain your whole heart and open you to a contemplative experience of inherent holiness. Let me put it this way. I know you're thinking, but shouldn't we pray? Shouldn't we read the Bible? Shouldn't we do all those different things, which in our Methodist tradition we call means of grace. That's how we understand that. Yes. But how many times have you opened up and tried to read the Bible and you're just not connected, right? I confess that. I open up a Bible and I'm reading it and it's like, okay, I get the words. But it's not a spiritual practice. The words aren't magic that just go boo. I'm not connecting with it. So, you know, even reading the Bible can be something that's not a spiritual process if your heart isn't awakened, right? And your spirit deepened. Prayer is the same way. Oh, I love to pray. Do you love to pray? How many times you go to pray before bed? Dear Lord, I love you. Thank you for this. And you know, you kind of wake up a little bit and think, well, thank you, Lord, for the holy stillness. And that can be a good thing. But the thing is, sometimes we disconnect in even those things too. You see, getting out of bed like we usually do, tumbling out of bed like I do, doing the same old, it's not a spiritual discipline. But what would it be if each and every day from now on, starting tomorrow, or maybe today if you take a nap, whatever, but if you were to wake up and all of a sudden you're going, I am alive. Praise God. What do you have for me today, God? When I was a kid, I was taught this prayer, and I know you were too. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray my Lord my soul to take. I was really thinking, don't take my soul. But how many times have I said that prayer, even now, because I do on occasion, how many times do I say that prayer, but when I wake up, I don't thank God for my soul I've kept? That's what it means to intentionally wake up. So I want to invite you, each and every day that you wake up, to do this very simple thing. When you get up, don't just tumble out of bed. When you open up your eyes, when you wipe the sleep from your eyes, then at that moment, open up your heart and just realize, and you can pray if you want to, I encourage that, but just to realize, I have another day. And I may be hurting, and I may be struggling, but I have another day. I might be feeling good. I have another day. And in that day, God has a plan for me. Will I honor that plan and love God? I have the possibility to do that. And friends, I think even though it's not going to take care of everything, that to wake each day that way, to give God thanks, to be grateful for the new day you have, is the best way to start the day. And that way you can begin to see God's light in your life. Flip the switch in your soul and see God's light in your life. This past couple of weeks, we've been taking care of a dog, a Chiweenie. Little bitty thing. Yaps. Boy, my cats are beginning to have a field day with it right now. But Alistair, that's the Chiweenie's name, cute little dog, but you know, you got to take the dog out. So I took the dog out, and I was really tired. That dog got me up at 4:30 in the morning. I know some of you are going, I get up every day earlier than that to go to work. Okay, I love you. But I haven't done that in years. That's an early time for me, but you know what? I got out, I stumbled out of bed, went out, got the dog. I said, outside. And I took that dog outside, and that dog ran around, tried to make sure it wouldn't crawl through a gap in the fence, because that dog would. But was watching that dog, and all of a sudden I looked around. It's like, I'm surrounded by fog. Do you remember that morning? I'm surrounded by fog. And yet it was so beautiful, because I could see up above the fog, and I could see, I could just see sky. Still. And I thought, this is magic. and God is here. And that day was a good day. Another day this week, I stumbled out of bed and I didn't do anything. I didn't give thanks to God. I just went through my routine. And folks that were here on that day might have noticed I was a little grouchy. Didn't want to be, but my temper was this close for whatever reason. So if you were sensitive to that, then that's what was going on. I didn't wake up well. I was suffering from a little SAD. Friends, simple thing. Wake up with God's love on your heart and experience God's light. And that can begin to do a work. And your life can be better because you will be open to God's love, God's grace, and most especially God's light. And all God's people said, Amen.